And we'll be looking at wisdom for God's will and what the Word of God in the book of Proverbs speaks of knowing God's plans for us and how to be engaged in that. And I wanted to share that this morning as it relates also to what we'll be looking at tonight and our theme for 2023, the will of God for me in 2023. And I do want us throughout this year to consider often knowing God's will, and not just knowing it on an informational basis, and we'll talk some about that this morning, but knowing and then acting upon, knowing and doing, and not just having, I know what God wants, but making, I know what God wants, and I am engaged in that. And I believe that that will be a good encouragement for us as a church throughout this year to be focused on, and I hope that you'll be back tonight for the evening service. We'll be looking at God's will in a specific area tonight. We'll also be observing the Lord's Supper this evening in the evening service. And I think a terrific way for us to begin the new year is remembering with gratefulness what our Savior has accomplished for us. And so we'll be taking time in the evening service tonight to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And I hope that you'll be in prayerful consideration of that throughout the afternoon and looking forward to that this evening. I do want to just share a couple of announcements. Many of you probably wondered where we were Wednesday night, and I failed to tell Brother Mike or Brother Andrew, let folks know where we were. Miss Lindsay and I celebrated our 15th anniversary this past week, and so we got away for a couple of days and was able to have the kids with my sister, and they had a great time, and Lindsay and I got to get away, and so thank you for being back this morning and wondering, where's Pastor Ben? So if you didn't know Wednesday night, that's where we were, and thankful for a little bit of time of refreshing, and very glad to be back with you all today. Proverbs chapter 3 is where we're going to start this morning. Proverbs chapter 3 will be where we kick off from. A couple of prayer requests I want to just encourage you to be in prayer about. One would be, be in prayer for Miss Shirley. She's been sick now for quite some time, and so she got checked out this week at the urgent care, and it's not pneumonia, it's not COVID, but just she's been under the weather for quite some time now, and so she would appreciate your prayers, and we miss having her here. So I'm sure she's watching in this morning, but be in prayer for her. Also be in prayer for Jacob Campbell. He is back from the rehab. He's at home right now, but still facing a lot of difficulty with the recovery regarding his leg. And so if you'd be in prayer for him and his spiritual encouragement, and I know that he would appreciate any text from you guys, just reminding him that you're praying for him, encouraging him, and looking forward to seeing how God will continue to encourage him. Any other prayer requests this morning before we take some time in the Word of God? I just want to take a moment, and if there's any prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share. In our Sunday school classes, normally I know you guys do a little bit more of that, so I don't want to skip over that too much this morning. Brother John.
Yeah, the gentleman that we had been praying for, Jim, he's gone.
Okay.
So be in prayer for his
family. Be in prayer for the family of Jim, passing, and so be in prayer for his family at this time. All right. Any others? Todd? Praise the Lord for safety for Havana and the kids yesterday. They were in a car accident, but they're all fine. And so we'll continue to be in prayer for them. And I saw someone else. Yes. Yes. How is she? Still about the same? Okay. Pray for Ioma, a friend of Miss Janet's, and who is not in good health. And so pray for her and for Miss Janet as she cares for her. All right. Any others? Bob? All right, pray for Daniel Wayman, who was in an accident yesterday, friend of the Sanders, and so for God's help for him right now. Okay. Sarah?
There was a lady in car
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Sharing a gospel tract with someone who said, you have no idea how much that meant to receive that right now. And so the Lord always works as we listen. And if you have prompting from the Lord to give a tract to someone, don't hesitate. And the best way to have that happen is to have them with you and to be thinking of that. So praise the Lord for Sarah, God working in that. Good. Testimonies in Sunday school are a good thing for us as well. I know I always enjoy hearing how God's been working through you all. And I might share a testimony just real briefly here. Thursday night for basketball and the Bible study. One of the men who recently has trusted Christ as Savior was out with us playing ball. And, it was Mark Medlin. And we were talking about how as men, it's not a common thing to demonstrate gentleness. And Paul talked about being gentle with the people in Thessalonica. And he said, you know what, that's exactly what you all have been. This church, you guys have been gentle with me. And how do I do that? And he's asking about how he can be involved in demonstrating a fruit of the Spirit. And that's exciting when a Christian is already asking, recognizing it, first of all, that people have treated him in a certain way, but now wanting to be a one who is giving that out as well. So you be in prayer for him and his growth. He was sharing it right with all the rest of the guys that were there as well, which was fantastic just to see God working in the lives of young men. So, Brother Baum? Really? Yes. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keep it up, church. Keep it up. This community needs to hear the gospel, don't they? Oh, let's try that again. It's the new year. We're certain of that, I think. This community needs the gospel. And so let's be involved in that and praise the Lord for his using you all to be involved in that. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray and let's thank the Lord that he's using us and then also ask him to work in these folks' lives. God, we thank you for your working through us. We thank you for this church and the heart that exists here to share Christ. I pray that you'll give us boldness in this year, that you'll help us to speak as we ought to speak, and that we'll know your power on what we do. We can do nothing apart from you. And so, God, we're coming to you right now at the outset of this new year, asking for your power and your help. And God, I thank you that we can do that repeatedly this year. Help us to grow in that, and help us to grow in thankfulness. Just these testimonies are already encouragements and reminders to what you've done in the last weeks and months here. And God, we look forward to what you will do in the coming months and weeks. And God, I pray that you'll help folks tonight, today that have mentioned a number of requests. I think of this lady that received the tract just at this store just yesterday, that whatever's going on in her life, that she would recall and see your plan for her in Christ is peace, not in her own effort, but in Christ alone. And I pray that she would see the gospel for her. Lord, I pray for these needs that were mentioned, Miss Ioma, friend of Miss Janet, that you would continue to give help to her during this great health battle that she's facing. We pray for the family of Jim that just passed away, and I pray that you would help John, even as he is an encouragement to folks there. I pray for Bob's friend, Daniel Wyman, and his recovery from the accident. We praise you for the safety given to the Ribleys, and we thank you for safety to Havana and the kids, and we pray that you'll continue to provide their needs as they
Probably we'll have transportation things that come up. I pray that you'll just encourage them. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be faithful witnesses of Christ this year. Help us, Lord, to this morning see your word clearly. Help us to have open hearts and minds. And we'll pray that you'll teach us and grow us in this time this morning in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 through 6. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. And I know these are not uncommon verses to us, but they're going to be a little bit of a kicking off for us as we consider God's will and wisdom for God's will. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Let's just read them out loud together. And if you'd follow along with me, we'll say the reference and then follow along with each of these two verses. Ready? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, how many of you recognize your life is filled with decisions to be made? Yeah, you've got decisions already probably looming at you for this coming year. This thing's about to break. This thing's about to be needing replaced. Maybe you've bought a car before. You're going to be buying a car. You've bought a house. You've had to make decisions about selling a house or buying things. And God's word gives us specific instructions for many aspects of our life, does it not? I can know very specific things, but are there areas of life that God's word doesn't tell me specifically, buy Fords, not Chevys? Does the Bible tell me that? No, it doesn't. You want to show me the verse later if you're a, you know, a Ford lover, whatever. But the Bible doesn't give specifics sometimes to very important issues, like, who am I supposed to marry? Did the Bible have a Bible verse that said, thou shalt marry Lindsay? No. But did the Bible give direction in principles that helped me know Lindsay's the girl that I should marry? The answer is yes. Now, sometimes that vagueness you might feel when it comes to making choices and knowing what does God want me to do can be a frustrating thing. I remember as a high schooler, people talking about the will of God a lot. It almost seems like talking about the will of God was a very high school, college age topic. But then once you're out of that age, we don't want to talk about it anymore because everything's already set, it almost sounded like. You've already married, you've already picked your vocation, the will of God, you're past that now. That's not true. You know, the will of God is important for every stage of your life. And I don't want you to think of the will of God as just big things like who am I going to marry or what car am I going to buy, although that would be important. And it's very important for us to know what is God's mind for big decisions, but also for very, very specific smaller ones. And I know sometimes when we come to the Word of God, people's view about how do I figure out what God wants can be really kind of goofy. And I want to warn you, don't come to the Word of God with a goofy aspect. You say, what's a goofy aspect for finding God's will? Let me find a verse, okay? And I read a Bible verse, and the fifth word in that verse was love. And I've known this girl for 5 months, so that means I must love her, and I'm supposed to marry her. Ah! Run the other way from someone that looks to the Bible in that way to figure out what they're going to do. That's not how you interpret the Word of God effectively, correctly, okay? What we want to do is not kind of make up our own, oh, this is what I think God wants me to do. I want to be able to say, I know what God says. And because of what I know God says, I know how to make decisions. I make decisions out of clearly interpreting the Word of God. And I don't make decisions also out of just I'm confident I know what God's will is, as though I have some kind of a crystal ball that I know the future. You don't, and I don't. Does it ever feel frustrating that you don't know the future? Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit today. But don't be like the guy in college who goes up to the girl and says, would you like to meet God's will for your life? Hi, my name's, and then give their name. Horrible pickup lines. Did you know guys in college like this? Okay, there were a few at your college. Andrew never did that. No. I'm telling you, sometimes we can act in a very silly way about the will of God when we ought not. And so the Word of God has to be clearly understood. In the book of Proverbs, I mean, wisdom. Wisdom for what? We talked about what wisdom means. The how. The knowing how to rightly use information and knowledge. How do I use this? God's Word in the book of Proverbs is for making decisions. You can't get away from that in our study of the book of Proverbs. So this morning, I want to look at a couple of areas. In your notes there, you've got some blanks to fill in. Some aspects of our correctly seeing the will of God and knowing what we're to do when decisions come. Number one, and this is not a given, it's trust God's way. Trust God's way. Trust in God. Now, I know that you're not surprised to hear me say trust God, but the goal of our lesson today is to see some recommended actions. What are the actions you can take when it comes to knowing what God wants you to do? Because sometimes, isn't it frustrating? What I don't know what to do. Well, I'm going to give you one right off the bat. Trust. Is that an action that you're called on and I'm called on to do when it comes to making decisions? It absolutely is. In fact, everything else we're going to look at rests on this. You're taking your hands off of things and giving it over to God, trusting the future, trusting life to Him, not yourself. And so when we consider the matter of the will of God, at the very heart of it is the matter of, will I trust God? Will I trust what He has? And that's important not just for big decisions that must be made, but also small ones, big and small alike. Now, we've read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it blanks there for you. The very first blank there, number one, trust God's way. The second blank, Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and then acknowledge Him in all thy ways. Acknowledge Him. I should have put verse 6 there as well. Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, you will find it difficult to accept God's plans if you don't trust His plans, if you don't trust His Word. What can make it? This is class discussion, okay? In Sunday school, I encourage discussion. Now, don't go way off the rails here, but I want to ask you, what can make it difficult for us to trust God and His plans? You get to be involved here. Help me out. What can make it difficult for us to trust God and His plans? Yes, sir. Ah, good. Yes. A lot of people talk about, I just have a gut feeling. If I'm going to trust God or my gut, which one's it going to be? Good. What's another reason or way that it might be difficult?
When you can't see the end from the beginning.
When you can't see the end from the beginning. Your limited view. Yes. What else? Something that may not match our plans. Yes. This is good. The scare of not being in control. Right. So they're in one thing that could make it a daunting thing is inexperience with the Word of God will result in panic or fears. Good. And by the way, can any of us feel inexperienced in the Word of God? Now, is there a solution to that? There's a happy solution. There's getting more into the Word of God. But if I don't admit I feel that inexperience or that hesitation, it won't drive me to the Word. Brother Bob, did you have another observation? What can make us hesitant or fearful in trusting God and His will?
Yeah, being afraid that we'll be laughed at and it won't work out the way we're trusting it. And until you trust it and take that chance and see it come through, that'll hold you back.
Yes. Some of the things I wrote down are the unknowns, not being able to see the future, our limited perspective, our weakness, our desires to affect outcomes. In fact, how many of you ever have thought, I know what I want, but I don't know if I want what God wants? And that's hard when we just are honest about the fact. You know, I recently was, Miss Lindsay and I were able to reflect on many of our, when we first met each other, stories. Those are always good, just to remember back. And we were talking about some of the things we were afraid about before we knew who we were going to marry. And one of the ones for Miss Lindsay was the, am I going to marry someone shorter than me? You know, for some of you girls, you know what that feeling is. Am I going to marry someone who's shorter than me? I told her, well, at least I'm not shorter, but you didn't have a whole lot of other qualities there that I had to match up to. Now, those kinds of things, can that be an intimidating thing for a girl? I don't want to marry someone who's this. Or what if he doesn't have much? Or what about if God sends me to Greenland? Now, sometimes in our minds, we already have, I don't want, and we know what it is that already it seems God may be even directing us to, but we don't want that. And so there's a lot of reasons that can make it difficult for us to trust God's plans for us. The question is, what am I supposed to do with that part of my life that includes decision making? Look over at Proverbs 16:9. Proverbs 16:9. This verse, I'll have to be honest with you, for a long time, I didn't quite get it. I'll just say that. The study of Proverbs has helped me more and more dig into just verses that I can often read over. If you read through the book of Proverbs every day, a chapter a day, you're going to read things that sometimes you're going to say, now what is this all about? This is one of those verses that when you read it, you need to think about what it's saying. And Proverbs 16:9, in your notes, I've given it to you. A man's heart deviseth his, let's say the blank, say it out loud. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Now, there's two things in this verse that are pictured that I think are really very helpful for us to see. The verse breaks down two important things. One is a picture of man, and one is a picture of God. The first part, a picture of man, and a specific man is involved here, a man who is interested in doing what God wants. And we'll see why that is in the second half of that. But it's a picture of man. A man's heart deviseth his way. Now look up here. Do you have the ability to devise things? Yes. Can you engineer things? Plan things, design things, even manipulate things? I mean, can we be pretty crafty with how we can set things up for the future? Yes. And can we be pretty impressed with ourselves about our plans for the future? Oh yeah, you ask any kid about his plans for a Lego set, he's got a plan for what he's going to do with this, right? And that's not bad for kids to learn how to build things. It's not bad for us as adults to plan for things. But in our planning for things, sometimes we can take too much credit for what we can plan, what we can devise. In fact, just recently, mankind has figured out how to have positive energy return from fusion, nuclear fission. Fusion, I think it's called, not fission. In other words, another advancement in atomic energy was made, and it was supposedly this big, big discovery. Billions of dollars spent to create this new method of atomic energy. But do rabbits do that? No. No, the rabbits in my backyard have not been building nuclear reactors, thankfully. The birds flying around our house, are they planning things, devising things, scheming things? No, not beyond the instinct that God gave them. You know what's special about us? And it is a special thing. God's given you the ability to plan, to devise, to create and develop and to make plans. But can I tell you that that creative ability that is so specially put into us is not to an end that's just for you. It needs to be put over into his hands. And that's what this verse says in the second half. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Man can choose to put God's ends and God's plans ahead of his own. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute, because if I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart, you know what I have to do? I have to put God's plans and God's designs ahead of my own. And that's something called faith. Hebrews 11 You might just jot this verse next to letter A there, a picture of man. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Can you please God apart from trusting him? No. No. Has God given us an incredible capacity to, as humans created in his image, to think and reason and make plans and develop plans and you could even say schemes or engineer things? And that doesn't mean bad, but isn't it amazing what men can do? What is it that man has to do if he's going to be right with God, if he's going to rightly see life? He has to put himself under. So the Lord directeth his steps. That's a picture of God brought into the equation. While it's true, I can make all kinds of plans, I have to see that the Lord is the one that will direct steps. And that means that God can change plans that I make. Can God change plans that you make? Well, you could say, yes, he will. But do you recognize the necessity of bringing that into your life, of trusting him for those changes to take place, of trusting him when they take place? And there is unseen, and there is unknown that you weren't planning for or couldn't see. It goes back, in my mind, to Proverbs 3:5 or verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. What is the acknowledging of God but our recognizing, I am not the supreme ruler. I am not the supreme organizer of life's plans. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's exactly what Proverbs 16:9 is saying. But the Lord directeth his steps. And so in this matter of wisdom for God's will, I think first and foremost there has to be, I am one who trusts God's way. I trust God's way. Number two, seek God's word. Seek God's word. Some of you even mentioned this in your answers about what can be hesitations to us. It's if I'm unskilled or unknowing of what God says. Does God see further down the road than I can possibly see? Yes. What does the Word of God provide for me? Well, it provides light to things I couldn't see. I couldn't know. Proverbs 8, verse 17. If someone finds Proverbs 8 and verse 17 and wants to read that out loud, just raise your hand up for me. I may wait till I've got three or four hands raised before I pick somebody. So Proverbs 8, verse 17. All right. Brother Todd, you had your hand up there. Okay, that blank, seek me. So number two, seek God's word. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. God is delighted when we seek him. We see that in Hebrews 11. We see it as well throughout Scripture, the desire of knowing what God's plan is, knowing what God wants. Seeking, God is delighted when we seek to know him and his wisdom for our paths. Do you know that we live in a pretty amazing age where you can pull out a little box from your pocket and seek information of a massive quantity in milliseconds? Do you have the ability to pull a little box from your pocket and be able to search immense amounts of information in just the matter of milliseconds, and for it to be delivered to you from all over the world? Do people utilize searching every day? They do. Where is it that people search for information most? Help me out. Google, okay. Do you think that people look to Google before they look to God and his word? Yeah. Do you think that it's possible for Christians to live in a Google search world and not search God's word first? Yeah. You know why we do that? Because we like quick fixes. We like simple. We like ease. Can I just remind you that systematically being in the Word of God this year will help you know how to think about what God wants you to do far better than in the moment of panic, looking to Google for the answer. One is a nice little fast answer. One is a consistent pattern of life. And if you make it your pattern of life to continually seek God, and even when you come to the study of God's Word and say, I want to know today what you want me to know about you, and not just what you want me to know about you, but what you want me to do with what I know about you. I want to seek after you. John chapter number 5, verse 39, I have in your notes there. I'll just give you the word. Search the Scriptures, Jesus told those Jews who were critical, by the way, of his healing a man on the Sabbath and wanted to kill him. Can you imagine someone being upset that someone was healed? That just baffles my mind. We're upset that you healed somebody because you did it on the Sabbath. You great lawbreaker. And you forgave sin. And you called out that he is God is your Father. All these things that Jesus is showing of himself in Scripture, there was an attitude against him. And Jesus said to those people, search what? Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. If you would search the Scriptures, you would find out who I am. You would find out that what you're thinking is not what God thinks. Now, if Jesus could say that to religious people in his day, you know what that means? It's possible for people today to think they know God, but not. Isn't that a possibility? For someone to think they know well what God would even want, but be living in a bubble of their own making and pulling from Scripture what they want to make God to be and what they want life to be about instead of what God truly, really says. Now, if those people could be duped in such a way by their own self amazement, I would just call it that, they were really impressed with themselves, I think people today can be as well. And you and I need to be careful of that. And the answer to that is to search the Scriptures diligently. And what does the Bible tell us about Scripture? It has an illuminating effect. The Word of God has power to illuminate. That's the next blank there for you. The Word of God has power to illuminate. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, Proverbs 6, 23, you're probably not too far from it there. Proverbs 6, look at verse 23. And this is a consistent description of the Word of God for us. But if I seek the Word of God, what am I going to find? What is it that I can expect as a result? Proverbs 6, 23, for the commandment is a lamp. That's the next blank to fill in. The commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The Word of God will give illuminating power. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I should have mentioned this at the outset. Lamp, or maybe I did. Paths and ways are all throughout the book of Proverbs. God is interested in you knowing direction. And God gives you light to see. Is it light to see all the way to the end? Or is it light for what the next steps are? It's light for the next steps. It's light for the next steps. It's light for the next steps. And that's part of the exciting encouragement to go back to the Word each day. I need light for today. I need to know God's mind for this day. When I start to think I've got it figured out way down the road and I can take it from here, I'm in trouble. You're in trouble. When I'm honest and say, I need light for today, for my family, I need light for today for my interaction with coworkers. I need light for today to know what to do with uncertain times. When I say very specifically, I need light for today, I will have it. I'll have help. Class discussion here. What could God's Word reveal, reveal that would help me know God's plans and directions? Give me some help here. What could, this is just a variety of things we could bring up, but let's kind of what I would call popcorn. So rather than long discussion, just give me a couple of specific things God's Word could reveal that would help me know God's plans or directions. Don't be unequally yoked. Who to marry? That's a good, good. Or in business, okay, marriage, business, yeah. Anyone else? Yes?
Priorities.
The priorities of life. Good. They can be, yes. Good, yes. It's a vital first step for a young believer. Tell someone you've trusted Christ and start being in the Word of God to know more of what He wants. Absolutely, good. Any other things? Now, I will tell you, yeah, Brother Mike?
It reveals God's character.
Revealing God's character for us, which shows us how we ought to think of Him. One of the things about getting into the Word of God and seeing what He would reveal, and Proverbs is filled with so many warnings, isn't it? I'm going to give you two very specific areas on the back side of your sheet there. Two specific sins that we're to avoid the influence of. Now, I could list a bunch of them from the book of Proverbs, but I find it interesting that God's will and these two areas and the areas that could come under them, one, immorality. Proverbs 2:16, to deliver thee from the strange woman. One of the reasons for this admonition to a son in Proverbs is what? To protect from immoral behavior, immoral influence. By the way, when people are influenced by immorality, does that affect their decision-making in many other areas of life? It does. And you could say the same thing for bad friends in other aspects, but immorality has a pulling effect on many aspects of one's life. Here's a second one, intoxication. Intoxication. In Proverbs brings up alcohol or wine. I would say intoxication, because in the time of Scripture, there were not necessarily as many other aspects of control of the body, but Proverbs 23:20 says, be not among winebibbers, okay? Those that allow themselves to be controlled by substances and controlled by those substances do irrational things, you ought to know that if you're hanging with that, you're going to get pulled into doing the same things, and they're going to affect your decision-making. Impaired decision-making is to be avoided. Now, those are just two of many kinds of warnings that are specific that the Word of God gives direction to. And in a very practical way, and I've given you some things here to consider for prayer, a practical way to read Proverbs each day of this week is to start in prayer with God. What do you want me to avoid? Wouldn't that be a good thing to ask as I consider the Word of God? What is it you want me to avoid? Are there things that are not what your will would be? Does God's Word give admonition that don't go this way? You're going to find that over and over. What do you want me to avoid? And then, God, what do you want me to do? So it's not just no, 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 that the desiring wisdom father, the father that wants to give wisdom, says don't. If you're a parent, you will frustrate your kids if all you are is constantly, no, 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 no. Are you to give no's? Yes. Yes, you need to tell your kids, don't do this. But you need to say, do this. You need to give positive direction. And does the book of Proverbs give positive direction? Yes, it absolutely does. And consistently examples of one who goes in a right way. Not this, but this. We've seen that often. And then finally, God, I want to know you and please you. That's the attitude of seeking the Lord. That's the attitude of, I want a relationship with Him. I don't trust my own ways. I trust His. So I want to know Him. And I think if you would pray in those three things, and you can obviously word that however you wish, But those would be three baseline things to start praying as you read through the book of Proverbs. God, I want to know what you want me to avoid. I want to know what you want me to do, and I want to know you. I want to know you. Very basic way of understanding God's desires for us through his word. Here's the third thing. We'll kind of quickly follow along here. Hear good counsel. Hear good counsel. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Counsel. What's another word for counsel? Advice. Instruction. Teaching. Specifically, someone else giving input into your life. Someone else. Now, it's one thing for me to go to the Word of God and for the Word of God to minister to me. But are there times when it's needful for someone to come to me and encourage me in truth and to provoke me? I was going to say when I wrote this, instead of hear good counsel, I was going to say seek good counsel. But do you notice what this verse says? He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Will there be times when someone comes to me and I didn't ask for it and says to me, you know what, I care about you, I'm concerned about you, this direction that you are heading down is dangerous. Is that ever a good thing for us to have that kind of counsel? Yes, yes. In fact, I would encourage you, don't dislike that. That's good for you, both young people and adults. Do you think that there's a point where we stop needing counsel? Well, I don't think they're going to listen to me. Well, you know what? That if you know that something is true and you care about someone, and this ought to be, I pray, the attitude you see from your pastor and the men in our church, that they can hear when you ask questions and they don't attack. The fastest reason to attack counsel is when you know you're already wrong and you don't want to hear it. If you're hesitant to take counsel, now you said, Pastor, are you telling me now that when you give counsel, I've got to take it because you just said I'm resistant? Well, I know myself. Have I ever not wanted to hear something that someone gave me? Yes. Yes, I have. Did I need to hear it? Oh, many times. And I thank God for people who gave counsel, not because they were trying to put me down so they could lift themselves up. No, no, that's not what we're talking about here. You know, don't you, when someone comes because they care about you, and it may be uncomfortable, but they care, and so they give counsel. When you receive it uninvited but true, what will you do with it? When you receive counsel that's uninvited but true, what will you do with it? Often good counsel will come our way that we were not asking for, but we desperately need. We desperately need it. Have you ever been a bit blind to your own passions in a situation? Been in the middle of a difficult situation, and you have a faithful friend who will speak directly to you and not beat around the bush. I just have to step on eggshells around this. No, go directly to it, but you do so in love. And sometimes that counsel can be hard to take at first. It can be very difficult. But that individual may see an aspect that's in your blind spot. When I was growing up, my dad, whenever we'd get on the interstate for trips, interstate driving was kind of unusual for our family because we grew up, like many of you, in rural Indiana. And highways that had more than two lanes were a big deal for us where we lived. And so getting on the interstate, going through Louisville on the interstate, I remember my dad many times wanting us to spot for him, you know, the blind spots. How many of you have ever driven with someone and they, is anyone in my side or over there? You know, they're on ramp. Is anyone coming? Now I'm so used to it. I mean, I can look in my mirrors without looking behind me to know these things. But when you're not used to that as much, that's scary. And now they have these cool little things. I have on one of my cars, they're little blind spot mirrors. Little convex thing down in the corners of your mirror that shows your blind spots better, right? Okay, what's the advantage of asking or taking advice about what's in your blind spot? Well, there are things you may miss. And the danger of my depending on those little blind spot mirrors is I might get more and more careless, right? What if my wife looks back and she sees something and says, there's a car there. What am I going to do? Well, a good attitude to have would be, I take counsel. I can hear. I can recognize I don't see everything. Now, don't look at your spouse and say, you need to listen when I'm telling you how to drive. Okay. There's a need for us to hear each other. There's a real need for that. And counsel is for your benefit. And I was going to give us some discussion. Maybe we'll pick this up next time. What are some good sources to hear counsel